Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. I'm Charlie Herman. Next week, Tim Geithner releases his memoir slash insider account of what happened during the financial crisis and what he did to save the U.S. economy while he was president of the New York Federal Reserve and later as President Obama's first Treasury Secretary. The book's publisher describes Stress Test, that's the name of the book, as the definitive account of the unprecedented effort to save the U.S. economy from collapse. Joining me is Diane Brady with Bloomberg Businessweek and Ben White with Politico. And Ben, you're interviewing Geithner at a public event in Washington about a week from now. What do you expect to get from the book and from that conversation that we haven't heard already?
Yeah, I think there'll be a number of topics that we'll cover. I should say that I have not received the book yet, but I've read excerpts that appear in the New York Times Magazine. Andrew Ross Sorkin has an article quoting from the book. I want to ask him about a quote from former President Bill Clinton. Geithner asked for advice on how to better appeal to populists, folks who think he's too close to Wall Street, bailed out the banks at the expense of average citizens and homeowners. Clinton said to him, "Tim, you could take Lloyd Blankfein, the CEO of Goldman Sachs, out in a back alley, slit his throat, and you would satisfy the populace for about 2 days." So Geithner has a difficult task in this book. He's got to prove a counterfactual that if he hadn't did what he did, which is to inject $700 billion into the banking system, bail out the banks, that we would have had another Great Depression, even worse crisis that we had. And while unpopular and angering a lot of people, it was the only thing that he could possibly do. I wonder if he thinks that he can ever convince people that it was the right thing to do.
You know, Diane, when you write a book like this, it gives you the opportunity, in this case, Geithner, to try and tell their side of the story. But you would think it would also give us a chance to know what worked and what didn't work when it came to getting us out of the financial crisis. When you look at this book coming out and all the other books that are coming out, do you see some sort of common ground for what to do should there be another crisis?
I think one of the lessons learned is keep meticulous notes so you can write a book, since everybody seems to have one up their sleeves at this point. But no, I mean, I think clearly, you know, there are still debates to this point. Should we have bailed out the banks? I think the consensus is yes. I think the issue to some extent for Geithner and Bernanke and others who come out with books is how much more do we want to read about this, having had really a fairly thorough chronicling of events from Hank Paulson. You know, we've had Elizabeth Warren's come out. We've had many journalists write their own books. So I think to some extent the challenge is more that the lessons have been distilled and the next crisis will look very different from the crisis we've been in now.
You know, one of the complaints that's lingered in the aftermath of the crisis is the lack of criminal prosecutions against banks or individual executives. And we're now hearing some reports that the Justice Department may bring criminal charges against two banks over alleged violations that have to do with breaking U.S. sanctions on doing business with Iran, another for tax code violations. They really don't have anything to do with the financial crisis. But, Ben, they do show the Justice Department trying to get tougher, trying to get the criminal admissions of guilt. Do you think that this might have an effect on bad behavior at financial institutions in the future?
Anytime you have criminal charges against an institution or an individual, it's going to have some deterrent effect. But when we're talking about these two cases, you're referring to BNP Paribas, French bank, Credit Suisse, a Swiss bank, not U.S. banks. So there's less of a deterrent there for activity in the United States. And everybody wants to see criminal charges, but if they're against an institution and not an individual, how much does that deter an individual greedy banker who wants to do something untoward in the future? I'm not sure how much. This strikes me as a political move by the Justice Department to address the comments that the Attorney General made recently saying that maybe banks are too big to jail. It'd be too bad to the system if we criminally charged any bank. So let's single out a couple non-U.S. banks and do it. I don't know how much that's going to satisfy people's lust for real criminal charges against individuals that were involved in the financial crisis. That boat has sailed. They missed it. They're not going to be criminal charges against any Wall Street executives who were involved in this financial crisis. And there's nothing that justice can do about that now.
Diane?
Basically, I think that you can only have criminal charges at this point. It's very telling to me that when you hear of these massive fines, the stocks and the banks actually go up because there's certainty. It's almost like a cost of doing business. And as a cost of doing business, the fines pale next to the potential profits. So, you know, it reminds me to some extent of when I lived in Beijing and they had essentially what was the equivalent of a 13-cent fine for smoking in the airport. People would have their cigarettes in their mouths as they were reaching in their pockets. This is kind of what happens here, which is it's not seen as a moral issue. It's seen as essentially almost like a toll. And I think that is a problem that no person has been held accountable in any real meaningful sense of the word.
Geithner's book is coming out at a time when Capital by Thomas Piketty, the 700-page examination of wealth and income inequality, is selling very well. Do you think that this hints that maybe people have moved away a little bit from what happened 6 years ago and they're much more focused on where we're at now and how do we get to solving those problems?
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. I mean, the political debate now is much more about economic inequality, economic growth, lack of job creation, stagnation of wages for the middle class, and less about did we bail out Wall Street? Was that a good idea? I mean, that doesn't mean there's not room for Tim Geithner's book and further investigation of that for people who are interested in it. But in terms of all the heat in the political arena, and which will be the case in the 2014 midterms and the 2016 presidential election, is how do we address that? How do we deal with an economy where the 0.01% is doing extraordinarily well while middle-class wages are stagnating? The debate will center around that. Some of that also speaks to Wall Street regulation and taxation of profits on Wall Street, but it doesn't speak to the actions in 2008 and 2009. That's backward-looking. The book you referenced obviously is forward-looking and the center of political debate right now.
Well, finally, in the few moments that we have left, Diane, what are some of the stories that you're looking ahead to?
Two things next week. I'm off to Canada to talk natural resources post-Keystone, and we have women corporate directors coming to town. A lot of interesting people, including Kathy Matsui, who's been a powerful force in Japan.
Ben?
I'm looking to two big events coming up, Mother's Day and Memorial Day, both big, important events for consumer spending. We had a very weak economy in the first quarter, 0.1% growth. Everyone's saying we're hoping for 3% growth or better the rest of the year. That depends on people getting out there and spending and traveling over Memorial Day. So I'm looking at retail sales around those two events. If they come in strong, it looks like we'll probably have a better second half of the year. If they come in weak, then all bets are off.
Well, we'll be watching those stories and all the week's financial news at WNYC.org. You can also take this program with you as a podcast available on iTunes. Ben White with Politico and Diane Brady with Bloomberg Business Week. Thanks for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.